Okay, while Sissy is preparing, I'm told she's going to introduce the subject matter. And because you are a team, and
yes.
And then I want you to be the last one to present,
so that you listen to. Are you entities? Yeah. That will be your entity. Yeah. NYDA. Are they their
entity?
Entity.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? Study in the website.
As legislators, you've given it a mandate in 1999, Act 6 of 1999, where it stands and has statistics on its own, and it has a budget vote, and has an arm's length relationship with whichever minister it supports. That's the legislative position.
Now, what is your relationship with monitoring and evaluation?
We are a department on our own. They are a department on their own.
Who's the minister?
We report to the same minister. But we report to the minister, or rather, we report to the minister, they report to the minister.
That
we don't go through that.
Once you have raised the issue, I've always wanted to know why you were actually removed from reporting to the Treasury.
We didn't report to the Treasury. The Act says there will be a statistician general who is responsible for statistics of Africa. That statistician general is both an accounting officer for Statistics South Africa and the Statistician General of South Africa. That's the legislative position. We didn't report to Treasury, we reported to the Minister of Finance. But because the RDP was dismantled, when the National Development Plan came, then we reported to the Minister in the Presidency. This is what the position is. But Statistics South Africa is an autonomous body with an arm's length relationship with the politics. Okay.
Well explained, Dr. Christian Brenner.
What is the significance of you having, as the accounting officer, the minister in the presidency?
The Act says.
Fine.
The statistics says there will be a statistician general, and that statistician general, in relation to budgetary issues, will report to the minister. But in relation to the work box, the work itself, the statistician general
will
work on the matter. In terms of the cost of what has been done, that has to be the political decision that is there. We'll measure this, we'll measure that, but the politician general will not be present. And then the politician general will be able to come and measure that and inform it.
What are we going to do?
The second one, we will invite you, because we've never had an opportunity to have a conversation with them. If you remember, if you agree, we will invite them maybe next week.
Next week, ne? So that we give them 2 hours to come and give us a formal briefing. Is that okay? So you're invited next week. 8 o'clock is fine, members. 8, ne? 8, 9, past 9 to 10, yeah. 8 o'clock next week. Another appointment due with SSSA. Okay. They're still setting up. Let me deal with apologies. You're all welcome. I have 2 apologies before me. Minister Khadebe, Deputy Minister Manamela, Minister Ramaphosa, Deputy Minister Zozo, Honorable Derek is attending another portfolio committee, and Mr. Nyami Boy. Any other apologies?
you, Chair. I would like to be excused at 10 for another meeting that we are supposed to be meeting with your good self. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Honorable Lovemore is on study leave. She's busy with the exams. And then secondly, Honorable Eric Marais is busy with constituency work today in Drakenstein. And if you would please excuse me, at 12, I need to be in Stellenbosch by 1 o'clock. Thank you.
After 12, I think by 11. It will depend on how you guys, it will depend on your contribution.
Thanks. Before they start, I wanted to tender an apology for our acting Director General. Thank you so much, Honor. Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, I am Dr. Nzigi Chayin Namashia. I'm the Deputy Director General in the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation, and I am leading the delegation from the PME and NYDA. Together with me is the Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Peter Pretorius, and Mr. Clement Madale, and the ministry representative, and NYDA CEO. Steps SA, they will introduce themselves. I see that that is in general in the digital.
Okay.
They will introduce themselves. So, Chair, we will then, as Chair has requested, allow NYDA to present first, and then we then give the global picture for the department. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Director General. Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. We will present the quarterly performance for the third quarter of the NYDA, as well as the quarterly expenditure for the agency up to and until 31st December 2015. We will present the report in two parts. And Ms. Mabuta here, who's the Executive Director responsible for strategy and planning, will present the performance information, and I'll present the expenditure report. Ms. Mabuta.
Thank you very much, CEO. Good morning, Honorable Members. As the CEO said, my name is Gwen Isnumvula Mabuta, and I'm Executive Director for Corporate Strategy and Planning at the NYDA. If I can please turn your attention to the NYDA Quarter 3 performance information for the financial year 2015-2016. Honourable Members, you will see that we have a total of 23 key performance indicators as per the APP. At this stage, as we are reporting for all its performance information until the end of quarter three, we are still collating information that will still be updated for quarter four, so please bear that in mind as I go through all of these particular areas. Year to date, we have met total targets that have been met out of the 23 are 16. Indicators that are active in quarter four, which means we are not reporting on them for the quarter three cycle, is a total of 2, and year-to-date target not met indicators is a total of 5. We have 6 program areas. Please turn to program area 1 on economic participation. the objective here of this KPI is to, the strategic objective of the KPI is to enhance the participation of young people in the economy. KPI Key Performance Indicator 1 on the number of new youth-owned enterprises and youth receiving the NYDA grant funding. The total quarter three target is 429. The actual is 543. The year-to-date target has been met and excelled. The number of young people aspiring and have established entrepreneurs supported through the NYDA Business Development Support Services. The year-to-date target for quarter three is 38,406. The actual that we have performed against this target is 53,269. The year-to-date target has been met and excelled. The number of communities provided with community development facilitation, the year-to-date target is 35 communities, and the actual against that is 26 communities met, meaning that this target has not yet been met, but a comprehensive catch-up plan is currently in place to address this. And we're expecting to meet and excel on this target at the end of quarter four. For jobs created and sustained through grant funding cooperatives and business development services, the year-to-date quarter three target is 2,166, and the actual is 2,868. Thus, this target has also been met and excelled on the community. Can I please turn your attention to the following page, which is Program Area 2, on Education and Skills Development. The strategic objective for this is to facilitate and implement education opportunities in order to improve the quality of education attained for young people. The key performance indicator we're looking at now is for the number of young people enrolled in the NYDA Matric Grade 12, and as I've alluded to in my earlier presentation slide, for the second chance matric rewrite and for the Solomon Matlanga Scholarship Program, these two indicators are inactive in the quarter three as they are only initiated in quarter four and verified in quarter four. The number of young people supported through individual and group career guidance intervention, year-to-date quarter three target is 736,885 has been achieved year to date. So this target has also been met and excelled, honourable members. The other strategic objective under Program Area 2 is to facilitate and implement skills programs. The year to date quarter three target is 1,500 young people, and the year to date actual is 2,136. Thus, this target has been met and excelled at the end of quarter three. Can I turn your attention to the following page? On the strategic objective to facilitate and implement skills programs, the number of young people enrolled in the NYF volunteer program, the year-to-date target for quarter three is 9,000, and the actual is that we have achieved is 9,796 against this target. That's honourable members, this has also been met in itself. The year-to-date target for number of young people supported through life skills, job preparedness program, and job placement. Year-to-date target for quarter three is 41,738. The actual that has been realized is 52,828. Thus, this target has also been met and excelled. Can I please bring your attention to the following page? For the third program area, being health and well-being, the strategic objective there is to facilitate access to health and well-being programs. The key performance indicator is the number of young people accessing programs and interventions designed to improve health. The quarter three target is 4,332. The year-to-date actual is 5,208. That has been realized, but this target has also been met and excelled. The fourth program area of health and well-being is relating to, the strategic objective relates to health and well-being interventions provided to young people. The quarter three target there is 150 youth, and the actual is that has been realized is 174,464. Thus, this KPI here today has been met and excelled. Can I please turn your attention to the next page? Program Area 5, relating to policy and research. The strategic objective one is to create and produce information and knowledge for better youth development, planning and decision making. Thus, the year to date, the number of youth development research and evaluations and policy reviews that have been produced, the year to date target is 33, and the actual that we have performed against this is 2,000. Thus, this is the second indicator that has year-to-date has not been met. However, there is a comprehensive catch-up plan that is in place to address this. The second one is the development of the National Youth Employment Plan. The year-to-date target is for us to submit the final Youth Employment Plan 2030 to the Presidency. Thus, this indicator has not been met, as the actual submission date is for the 14th of March to the Presidency. If I can turn your attention to the second strategic objective under Program Area 5, is to provide access to information and create awareness on youth development programs. The year-to-date quarter-three target was 900,000 young people, and the actual that has been realized year-to-date is 1,240,793 young people. Thus, this target has been missed and exceeded. Can I please turn your attention to the next page, still on Program Area 5, on Policy and Research. The strategic objective there was to lobby and key stakeholders to support and implement youth development programs. The year-to-date target is 37 urban states. Year-to-date, the actual is 36. We are one short, and we are very confident that we will achieve this in quarter four. This next strategic objective is to create a platform for youth to participate and benefit from democratic processes. Year-to-date target was 8,100 young people, and the actual for year-to-date is 11,570. Thus, this KPI has been met and excelled, honourable members. The third strategic objective on the same page is to mobilise and leverage financial resources from third parties to support youth development. The year-to-date target for quarter three is 67.5 million. The actual that we have performed against this is 65,844. There's a comprehensive catch-up plan that is in place that will assist us not only to reach the shortfall of the 2 million, but the outstanding 90 million. Can I please turn your attention, honourable members, to the following page, Program Area 6 on Governance. The strategic objective there is to establish a credible, efficient and effective organisation. The year-to-date performance target for the review of the NYDA IT systems architecture roadmap implementations on the phase three roadmap. This particular KPI has been met, honourable members, in that IT systems have been reviewed and the architecture and the roadmap implementations are done as per phase three of the roadmap. The following one is for the review of identified processes and guidelines and processes for increased efficiency. The target there is for the phase two roadmap to be developed, and thus we have the actual saying we have phase two roadmap developed, six policies and one manual reviewed. Thus the annual year-to-date target has been met and excelled, honourable members. The following key performance indicators for the number of staff who have received training and capacity building to enhance staff performance. The year-to-date quarter three target is 275 employees trained. The actual that we have realized against this is 376. Thus, this KPI has been met in Excel. The following one is the key performance indicators for the number of information dissemination access points operationalized. The year-to-date target for quarter three was 24 information dissemination access points, and thus the year-to-date actual that we've realized against this is 27. Thus, this target, honourable members, has been met and excelled. The following key performance indicator is for the compliance and policies and legislations for good governance. Year-to-date target was the dashboard reports as prepared by internal audit have acceptable levels of compliance to policies and legislation. The actual that we have performed against this is for quarter one and quarter two, dashboard report indicates that achievements of over 70%. The quarter three report will be produced in the first month of quarter four. Thus, it cannot be provided. But thus, year to date, this target has been met and it's done. Thank you very much for...
Thank you, Chair. In terms of the quarterly expenditure which supported the performance that Ms. Mabuza has just presented, I'll start with a quick reflection or review of the budget allocation that we have made for the grant that we have received and the additional income that we have been able to raise for the financial year in question. Where we allocated 46 million, just over 46 million for economic participation, 42 million for education and skills development, 20 million for national service, service delivery channel 31 million, research and policy 12 million, administration 87 million, and employee cost 189 million. You will note as I present going further that the manner in which we had allocated this budget will be taking a different shape when we move towards the 2016-2017 financial year, specifically because of a program that we had come and presented here to the Portfolio Committee as part of the turnaround strategy, the restructuring program of the organization, which we have now successfully completed, which has seen us saving some funds from both the administration costs as well as employee costs, which will be reallocating to the direct youth development programs and projects in the 2016-2017 financial year. If I go to the next slide, which is reflecting quarter performance at the end of quarter three, you will note that we have overspent under economic participation. The reason for this is that the grant funding program has been very successful, and there's been huge demand for this particular program. And as part of the savings that we have started realizing throughout the year out of the restructuring program that we have undertaken, we have reallocated additional funds to respond to the high demand of this particular product or program, which is why we're sitting at 120% of the original budget. On education and skills development, the reason why we are underspent by about 8% in relation to the allocated budget for the quarter is that there has been delays in the implementation of the appointment of service providers in relation to the second chance matric right program for the 2016 school calendar year. This situation has since been corrected. The service providers have been appointed. This is a process that we undertake together with ETDP CISA and also the Solomon Mahlangu Scholarship Fund. In relation to national youth service, some of the youth build related programs that we will be working with municipalities have been delayed. The implementation is underway, which is being currently run between January, and we anticipate that we'll be concluding those particular projects at the end of March this year. And then we had realized some savings in service delivery channel. This relates to, again, the restructuring program that we had that I've made mention of. In relation to travel costs in the main, that we've been able to save due to reallocation or redeployment of staff members from head office to branches. In relation to research and policy, the understanding there relates to particularly two programs, the Youth Employment Plan and the Integrated Youth Development Strategy, where some work is currently happening now, which will be concluded before the end of March. And in relation to administration, as I've indicated, these are savings that we are realizing as part of the restructuring program. In relation to the employee cost, you will note that the next slide, please. You will note that we are currently sitting at about 238 million, whilst we have budgeted for 189 million of the salaries. The reason for this is that we have had to pay voluntary severance packages as part of the restructuring program to the tune of 39 million. That's what increases that particular expenditure. But what you will note as well when you look at the next slide is that the restructuring program has enabled us to drop the salary bill, a contribution to the total grant as we receive from National Treasury, to just about 35%. We will be looking at a salary expenditure of about 145 million. A drop from 189 million current year of the salary bill, and that trajectory will continue to be maintained of the salary bill will continue to be kept at about 35% of the total grant, as it were. In the next slide, we are just giving a reflection on some of the key programs that we are implementing, specifically in relation to the branding of our local offices, just an indication of what has been done in the current year. We have to date branded 40 local youth offices. Honorable members will remember that in previous meetings we have indicated that we have agreements with about 211 municipalities for local youth offices. And these local youth offices, starting from 2016-2017, April 2016, will be fully staffed. We have through the partnership that we have entered into with the services sector, have established an internship program where all these local youth offices will now be manned by interns who will be receiving support from the nearest full service branches, so that all local youth offices across the country are operational and young people can actually go there and get assistance. We'll also be embarking on a project of branding all beneficiary sites. The key project that we have funded previously will be identified and those will be branded, and moving forward from 2016, all beneficiary sites will be branded as part of the awards that will be made to these particular young people. And then the next slide reflects some of the accessibility projects that we are rolling out as the agency. We will be rolling out a Wi-Fi project wherein all NYDA branch offices across the country will become Wi-Fi hotspots. This will mean that young people, when they visit the branch of NYDA, can be able to access the net through their own cell phones or other means of communicating through internet to gain information that can assist them to develop and empower themselves. We'll also be introducing the NYDA mobile app. The app will be web-based as well as cell phone-based. This again will ensure that young people, wherever they are, they can be able to access and apply for products and services of the NYDA using technology without the need of having to move to NYDA offices. We'll also be launching again an outreach vehicle. This will be a truck which will be fully equipped with IT technology as well as connectivity, so that when we do outreach programs, the young people will be able to apply and access all products and services of the NYDA real-time online. We have also opened a full-service branch in the Vembe District Municipality in partnership with the Tholamela Municipality as part of ensuring that we ensure the presence of the NYDA in rural areas. And then the next slide reflects the work that we have done in relation to outreach programs across all the provinces, across the country, both in relation to direct outreach programs that are aimed at engaging young people on the products and services of the NYDA, as well as dialogue sessions that relate to getting young people's views and ideas on how the NYDA or the agency or government in general can respond to their developmental needs. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
You want to engage before we call the second? You want to engage with NYDA? Okay, that's fine. Let's talk to NYDA. Thank you, Chief. Thank you. Chief, thank you. If I can firstly look at your financial status, it's here on a page with the name proposed theme, and where you break down your activities in different themes, and you then tell us what has been the budget allocation for this year, what has been your third quarter budget, what has been the actual spend during the third quarter, and then your projection for quarter four. Are we all on, I trust we're all on the same page. Chairperson, if I was the CEO of the Youth Development Agency, I would have really struggled to believe these figures, especially between the third quarter expenditure, the actual expenditure, and the projection. If you look, for example, at economic participation, and I assume that that is the way we give the grants, the assistance to young people. In this country, matrics write the exams in November, December, and they get the results in January, and now they're unemployed. Now they're looking for opportunities. This is the fourth quarter. Now that they are looking for money, a much smaller amount is available, only 6 million for all the young people that we want to assist to become part of the economy of this country. Whereas in the last quarter of last year, we spent 40 million of that. So it's less than a fifth that we now have available of what we had there. And I find it just so hard to believe that we will now have to cut back when the demand is actually, I think, seasonal and at its highest. The same, for example, with the National Youth Service. We must now cut back from 13 million to 7 million in this quarter. Service delivery channel, we must also cut back by 80%. Research and policy will now suddenly drop. Administration will be halved, and employee costs, which we know is something which is not easily managed from month to month, and I know you've said, I think you paid out some, 30 million plus in it. But even if I take the 30 million away from the 163 million, to suddenly drop employee costs to 34 million, I want to give you a letter today and say, you are budgeting for an overspend, but the overspend will eventually be much worse than what is predicted here in that bottom right corner. And my question is, how are you going to fund that overspend? And do you really believe that overspend is a realistic figure, or do you believe that the overspend will eventually be much higher? Because that is the picture I'm getting. The second thing, Chair, is we learn here that 572 new youth-owned enterprises were assisted. Well, that was the budget. And the actual year-to-date is 543 new youth-owned enterprises. Now, I'm so glad that we've got the statistician general here with us today, because I think he will tell us that this country's demographics is slanted towards the youth. We've got lots of young people coming into the market. He will be able to give us the figures, and he will always be able to also be able to give us the figures of unemployed youth entering the market at the end of every year. Now, if I then say I've assisted, as the national agency in this country, I've assisted less than 600 of these young people, it is not a drop in the bucket. It is really, to my mind, completely inappropriate for the needs out there. And therefore, I want to ask you, hey, what is your definition of saying that you have assisted with grants? Is it a once-off? Is it something that carries over a number of years, etc.? And secondly, what are our plans, what are your plans to readdress the serious problem of this, to few young people in this country entering business, starting their own businesses, and hopefully become employers of the millions and millions of other unemployed youth that we have? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Let me just tag on to what my colleague has been saying here and give a bit of flesh to that. Listening to the presentation, from the previous ones, it was sort of like doom and gloom. Now it all seems rosy. Everything seems to be going okay. You're exceeding targets and stuff like that. Big question, what happened? I know you'll talk about restructuring, strategic risk and that stuff, but what happened? What really happened? But now, getting to the issue that the Honorable Fanabesi has raised about entrepreneurship, I've been punting this thing for the last 25 years, that in this country we are going to have to get the young people to become creators of work rather than seekers of work. And I think that's why the MIDA is. Question, in this late slide program area one, where we have assisted a number of young people and stuff like that to establish their own businesses, what happens? Do we give them the grant and then we let them go? Do we follow up to see that these things do actually are sustainable so that they can then either grow bigger or spawn others? Because, as I say, this is the most important thing that we need to do. At the bottom of the slide, where we talk about jobs created, just a sense of the kind, the quality of the jobs that are created. What types are we talking about here? Thank you, Chair.
Okay, before my members, can I be excused? There's an urgent matter that I need to deal with, family matter that I need to deal with. Not a many will. Thank you. First and foremost, I need an indication. The budget that you are counting on is the budget allocated to you for 2015-2016. What happened to the bailout 200 million last year? Where is the accountability of that? And then, secondly, I also want to get clarity. You are reducing everything in quarter four, including the education and skills development and service delivery channel. You are not increasing anyway. You are not taking money from somewhere and increasing somewhere anyway. I want to know if, isn't there a way that you can take somewhere and increase where youth especially need to be employed, needs to go into entrepreneurship, and then the service delivery channel? Why is everything being reduced? Are we not expecting any problems with youth, or perhaps we have a hope that they will be employed somewhere? Thirdly, I'm struggling to get a determination of targets. How do you determine your targets? Because you have set out targets in each and every KPA. But how did you determine those targets that you have set out in all the KPAs that you have indicated here? And I remember very well this question of determining targets came up in the oversight, in particular at East London, the East London branch office, where we had complaints about people that were not attended to by the NYGA. And there was an advice given to, I think Chile was with us in that meeting, that he must meet up with all youth commissions of different political parties and different youth formations, even if they are not aligned to any party, any political party. But since that did not bear any fruit, or perhaps were never taken seriously, and your determination still brings problems, because we still sit with many, many complaints of people that do not know anything about NYGA. Either they are turned down or not recognized, or even not getting any direction. And also, with the KPAs and the performance which has been exceeded, can you give us the areas? I don't mean the areas in terms of performance. I mean the areas in terms of geography. That in Eastern Cape, East London, Tofimva, Batomo, Namakwe, this is what we did. Because now we are approaching, it's just a blanket approach that, well, this is what we have done, but we don't know where it happened.
I'm glad that the staff's money is at least lessened. Now it's going to 34 million. But rest assured, we are not bailing out anyone to give money to staff. We'd rather keep it like that. Because if ever what you have promised in the youth policy, that all the staff is going to branches, which now you also indicated that you are having branches in municipalities, we are yet to see if really there are NYDAs in municipalities, because it makes things very easy for the youth of any community to reach out to the NYDA. And then the last part, it also links to the data that you have to supply to us in terms of the geographies where it happens. Most rural areas are not covered. Whenever we go to oversight, whatever success of an NYDA is always based in townships that are very close to town. We have never seen any success in any village. And yet in the villages we have metric people that have failed and want to rewrite. They don't know how to go about rewriting in the NYDA. They don't even know it exists. They don't know about Solomon Mashangu, Bursaries, and they don't know about the grant that the NYDA is issuing. So you mentioned Tolamela in Limpopo, but there is 9 provinces, and in these 9 provinces, the status given there in terms of consultations for Northern Cape, that I can tell you is not true. I've been to Northern Cape areas, in particular rural areas. No one knows anything. You go to Zomorolong, it's a village, they know nothing. In Namakwa, the district, Namakwa, the villages, Kara is everyone. No one knows anything. I don't want to talk about Eastern Cape. In Limpopo, yes, now there's a change in Tulamela, but the rest of Limpopo, I'm not talking about the tangibility of what you have done. I'm talking about the consultation, just to find out what is it that the youth require, what is it that they need from NYDA, as well as the municipalities that you have successfully linked with NYDA. Can we get that data so that we can be able to direct the constituencies? Thank you.
Greetings to everyone, honorable members, and the leadership of NYDA, states, and the department. I won't be that much on what you have presented. My colleagues have covered, but I believe there are things that you should have presented which are omitted, very practical things. Number one, on your education and skills development, you spoke about 42 million. But what I want to know is, on your Solomon Mashangu scholarship, obviously you give out bursaries to those qualifying youth. Now, we have had a very burning issue of financial exclusion in teacher institutions, and we have seen student riots, popularly known as the Fees Must Fall. You will correct me if I'm wrong, but I haven't heard any statement from the NYDA giving the position as a stakeholder, because I believe if you issue bursaries, you are somehow a stakeholder in those teacher institutions. What has been your position to that? And on top of that, we have seen institutions like VETS and others where the student leadership have taken initiative to fundraise for poor students. And under your Solomon Mashangu scholarship, what has been your position to that? And again, one hasn't heard anything about that. I'm interested to hear that. Lastly, on your national youth service, you spend 20 million, where you speak about nation building and social cohesion. Again, recently on tertiary institutions, again, we've seen a high number of intolerance on racism issues. One hasn't heard any statement from NYDA, every once again stakeholder to that, because we service these young people in various issues, which includes the bursaries as well. What has been your position on those infightings based on Russian issues on chief administration? Lastly, last weekend, we embarked on a voter registration program, and as a structure that deals with youth, I haven't again heard anything from you supporting the campaign that young people must register to vote, which to me is a part of nation building that you are offering as part of the program. What has been your position to that? Thanks, Chief.
Good morning. Chair, on the economic participation program, what is the geographical spread and the nature of grants given under this program? And what I'd like to know, those who could not be catered for in the previous years be prioritized, or how do you make a follow-up on those that did not benefit from the opportunities presented to them? The other question, Chair, is on the issue of service delivery channel. How come there are underspendings when service delivery is always a priority in almost all the departments? And in most cases, catch-up plans have been mentioned that we're going to do catch-up plans. What would be the actual catch-up plan regarding those targets that were not met? And Chairperson, lastly, there's 278 municipalities in South Africa, if I'm not mistaken. Regarding the National Youth Service, are there particular spots that you identify them as special, that areas needing special attention, or you just try to be equitable as far as the spread is concerned? Or do you focus on particular areas? I think that question comes from what my colleague has just indicated, that how widespread are you within the country? Chairperson, I think that will be all for me for now. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Members. The ball is in your court. Because maybe you might answer my questions before I give it my contribution. But the first one that I think we need to address first is to actually inform Honourable Members what budget is this. Is it the 2015-2016, or is this what you are proposing? Because I think that is critical, then you follow the rest of the questions.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. Ms. Pateli here will also assist with responding to some of the questions that the members have raised. The budgeting question is for the 2015-2016 financial year, which started on the 1st of April 2015 and concludes on the 31st of March 2016. To be more specific to the question that Honourable Mente raised, is that the 200 million that we had requested as additional funding, which this committee had approved, National Treasury never implemented it, so we never received it. Hence, we are not speaking to it here. Let me maybe start by speaking generally to the issues that Honourable Sandebese has raised. I think we are in agreement with what he is raising, that indeed the level of impact that we are making to young people of this country is a drop in the ocean. The reason for this is that we do not have adequate budget allocation. The budget that we have versus the expectations and the demands of young people as our response to the socio-economic challenges that young people are faced with is simply inadequate, which is the reason why we came to this committee last year and requested an assistance with an additional 200 million because we wanted to do a little bit more to assist young people. And I think that I must make this point, Honorable Chair, that I think that on our part, as the agency and the administrators of the agency, I think that we have done what we needed to do. We have demonstrated good governance. We have demonstrated prudent financial management, which has been attested by the Auditor General. We have equally done our best to make sure that we use the limited resources that is allocated to us to deliver on the commitments that we make to young people of this country and to this parliament. Hence, we have been able to meet 93% of the commitments that we have made in terms of the APP, as verified by the Auditor General in the previous financial year. I think that we have demonstrated that we are an institution that can be trusted with the good governance.
Can you just tell the members, because from the beginning up to the end, how much was in your pocket? How much was there from the 1st of March to the
2015? The allocation that we had 413 million, which came directly from the government, and then we were able to raise an additional 17 to 19 million in from the various donors, which took us to a total budget available of 431 million for the year. That's what we are working with for this particular year. So the point that I'm making really is that 431 million versus some 22 million plus young people in this country, there's just not a balance. And so we agree that we are dealing with those particular challenges. Maybe to further clarify this particular slide that is up there, what we are reporting here is expenditure to date. So this is expenditure up to quarter three. So there is still expenditure for quarter four. Now, to respond specifically to some of the issues raised in relation to why did we leave so little in the last quarter, the reality of the situation is that the demand is just too huge. And it's connected to the statement that I've made earlier, that when young people are coming and they're saying they want this grant and they're presenting sound and sustainable business cases that is able to create some job, address unemployment and, you know, development in terms of socioeconomic conditions of young people, we can't put them or we can't stop assisting them on the basis that we want to keep money so that we have money until the end of the year. So this is the catch-22 situation that we find ourselves in, that the demand is just exceeding the supply as it were. So those are generally the issues. And in relation to the salary spend, again, this is a quarterly presentation, so we are not going to be reducing the salary bill. It's just that we have fewer employees that we have to pay salary for the last quarter, given that a lot of our employees would have taken GSP. And to speak to that particular issue as well, which speaks to the current expenditure, we have been engaging with National Treasury. In fact, we engaged with National Treasury before we even started with the restructuring program, and we had requested National Treasury to assist us with funding the voluntary severance package, which they agreed that we must implement. They have, you know, in principle indicated their willingness to assist us with that, so we'll continue to engage with them. They are, you know, implementing their own internal processes. Hopefully we will be able to get a refund of what we have spent on the voluntary severance packages. The question on how do we assist with grants, do we just give grants and then we let go? The grant program is structured such that in the first instance, a young person must go through an entrepreneurship development training program, which is a week program just to teach them the basics of what business is about, how do you go about running your own business, on over and above that, if they don't have a registered entity, they will be assisted through the voucher program to register an entity with CIPC. Over and above that, then they will actually get the grant. And then they are supposed to also get the mentorship aspect, which currently we are now doing through online with the partnership that we have entered into with the Mara Group, as well as physical contact where it is possible. And the support, also we have our staff members who do site visits on a quarterly basis to these beneficiary businesses to check how the business is doing and whatever else. The intention of the grant program is that that support must carry on at least for 24 months. So that is the nature or the approach that we then use in relation to the grant program. The quality of jobs that are created, the quality of jobs are relevant to the initiatives. We are only reporting jobs here that show some level of sustainability. So for an example, if we fund, let's say, a young person who is doing a scrapyard and is able to expand this operation, we account for the additional jobs that are created through that that particular process, and we'll continue to monitor the growth or the decline in those jobs that are created through our quarterly site visits that we make to the sites of our beneficiaries. In relation to, I think I've spoken to the reducing expenditures as well. Specifically, the administration part and the service delivery channels, I spoke to it when I presented. The administration part is because now that you have lesser people, some expenditures are also following that particular pattern. So you have less people that are using the telephone line, for an example. So you are paying less on your telephone bill. You have less people who are traveling, so you are spending less, and so forth and so forth. In relation to service delivery channel, it's mainly because you now have people who are located in branches, whereas because the organization was top heavy or lots of people were sitting at an office, they would have had to travel a lot to go and service communities in branches. Now they are located in branches. In fact, in this regard, we are anticipating further reductions in the expenditure. For an example, we are currently spending about 1.4 million just to run head office alone. But given the restructuring process, which has led us to an organization that is lean at the top, the current building that we are operating in, we cannot continue to operate in it. We will have to find a much smaller building, a process that we have started now, and we are anticipating that we can be able to save almost 50% of the cost. So we are potentially anticipating that we should be able to drop that cost by about 600,000 per month, which can be money that can then be redirected to direct the youth development program. In relation to the geographic location, what we can do, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, is to make a commitment that in the coming week, we can then submit a list of where all these interventions have happened. So we can do this per branch, like for example the KZN branch. If we say that in that branch we have assisted 200 young people with grants, where do these young people come from, so that the committee members can be able to see the location of where these young people are. And then the question of the local municipalities, as I've indicated, the recruitment process is currently underway. Ms. Mpakele will speak to it. From the 1st of April, all the local municipalities that at least we have agreements with their municipalities will be manned by those interns that will get support from the full service branches that are closer to them, so that young people will be able to get or interface with the NYDA in their local municipalities without necessarily having to travel hundreds of kilometers to go to where the NYDA full service branches are. To respond generally to the question of what has happened to drastically create this improvement, I think that the turnaround strategy that we presented to this committee, and which this committee gave the blessings for, is starting to yield some tangible fruits. I where I'm seated, what we're presenting is where we are. And we are committed to improving and getting even better, so that we position the NYDA as the go-to institution that everybody in government and in society in general can have confidence in that particular institution. In relation to the issue of hashtag Christmas 4, we have undertaken two parallel processes. One was we worked together with NASPA in trying to respond to this particular challenge. In fact, as part of those discussions, NASPA has committed an additional 10 million that the NYDA can use to respond to these particular issues. In relation to that particular issue again, we have, through the Tusano Fund, intervened on students who did not have registration fees now when they were they had to pay registration fees. For those investors that required registration fees, we had entered into engagements and discussions with various universities, and we have made commitments to assist a number of young people to do their registration. To a particular extent, the relationships with the universities that we have built throughout this program has been very good, because in certain instances, some universities have even agreed to register these young people on the basis of commitment letters that we have given, and not necessarily insisted on payment upfront, which we think that it was a good gesture that the universities have done. In relation to the issues of racism that have come up in the recent month, we have a planned approach of engaging on dialogue sessions, which we'll be implementing in the new financial year from April moving forward. The reason that we could not immediately respond to the challenge was the question of budget allocation, because this is something that came up during the year. We're not necessarily budgeted for it, but now we will be embarking on a series of dialogue sessions with an intended approach of ensuring that those dialogue sessions are inclusive in that the audience must include young people from all races, so that we can begin to create a platform for young people to speak and provide solutions as well on what they think should be done to address the challenges that they continue to raise. In relation to the voter education program, we have a planned voter education program for implementation in 2016-2017. The reason why we did not necessarily have intensive programs during this voter registration weekend would have been also a question of budgetary constraints. Honorable members will remember that in the 200 million additional funding that we had requested, part of the programs that we had intended to implement was the voter education program, but we have allocated funds for it in the 2016-2017 financial year. We're engaging with IEC. They will be assisting us with steps in relation to areas where there is low voter registration amongst young people, so that we are able to target those particular areas. So the campaign will be two ways. One will be about encouraging young people to actually register, not only on special registration weekends, but continuously in municipal offices throughout the period running up to the election. Then the next phase will be towards the election date itself, which will be more about voter turnout. Again, using information from IEC, we'll be able to identify the areas where, according to their stats, there is no actual voter turnout on election time, and then we'll be having young people on the ground doing activation, going door to door, going to concentrated areas, texting train stations and so forth, and visiting households, encouraging young people to go out and vote. I'll then allow Ms. Mpakele to deal with.
Yeah.
Oh yes. The targets are determined on the basis of, let me say, to a process that flows like this. We base our target setting on the basis of the priorities that are defined by the board. So the board will say the priorities for this year should be the following. Once the board has determined those priorities, we then go back and say what is the allocation that we have or we are receiving from National Treasury, and then we then allocate the targets in relation to what we are able to fund and support on the basis of the budget allocation. So where targets are lower, you will find that it's in response to our ability to be able to expand on the allocation. Just one last point, that was raised in relation to engagements with youth formation. We have a planned engagement with all youth formations in the country, which is scheduled for the 19th of this month. The 19th of this month, all youth formations, both political, civil society, and those in business and so forth, will be invited to that engagement, and then we'll then have that discussion. The intention there is also to share with them the APP of the 2016-2017 financial year, so that they know what we intend to do in order to intervene in the youth development space, but also to get their feedback, but also we'll be giving them a report back on the year that has been. This is how far we've come, these are the challenges that we're experiencing, so that they can become a stakeholder that also own and champion the cause for youth development and the effort of the NYD, and they can assist us to deal with some of the challenges that we do.
Thank you, Chair and Honourable Members. I'll speak directly to the local youth offices. Last year in the turnaround strategy, we presented to committee that in order to improve NYDA visibility, we are entering into partnerships with local municipalities so that they become our access points because they are closest to the young people in terms of delivering products and services. So what we managed to do in the course of the financial year was to source resources and partnerships from the CITAS, and the services CITAS did approve for us an amount of about 40 million for us to capacitate the local youth offices. And what that means is that we're going to put graduate interns who are in the services sector area, like youth development, education, like the services related industries. We're going to put these interns. We will train them on all NYDA products and services. The whole intention is that because the branches are largely in urban and peri-urban areas, they need not be on a daily basis be processing and receiving and processing applications from clients. At a local youth office level, that should be the entry point where young people should go to their office, get an NYDA represented, submit the application. This will help us also to disaggregate and to actually assess where did we go and how did we serve, so that we can manage that large number of young people that the NYDA is inaccessible. So we are working on this project, and these young people are in training as of Monday this week. Again, the mobile outreach vehicle that we are going to be having shortly is just basically to help the recruitment of, among others, second chance matric rewrite program. The CEO has already committed to sending to the honorable members information that is disaggregated per product. So we will be showing you which rural areas did we target for the recruitment of matric rewrite this year. And I think you members will see that we have really made a serious attempt to go to the rural areas, especially for matric rewrite and Solomon Mashaburi scholarship. The interest, even if I were to go back to the point the CEO raised earlier about networks even wanting to support the Solomon Mashaburi scholarship, was that over and above just giving these young people the financial for their studies, the whole support around social, psychological, coping at universities has really, really made our Solomon Mashaburi scholarship beneficiaries succeed at tertiary. I mean, their results are amazing. So they want us to work with them and see how best we can implement this model so that we can reach more young people passing in this product and services. Thank you, Honourable Member.
Thank you so much. I'm going to ask you questions, and please don't answer me. Just write them down. And you email the information to my questions to the chair. And two, you also email the request by members on the geographical implementation of projects, and align that with the money value. If you're talking about a project in a particular area, how much did you spend? What was it? What is it? What was it? Was it penetrating? What is it? So this is they understand, because indeed, I'm also very much uncomfortable. But like I said, I don't want you to answer these questions that I'm going to ask you. I'm asking you to do them next time, because today it might take a longer time, and then we keep people here for a longer time. You ask, answer, trying to answer my question. I don't know who is Sina now there. Who is leading the delegation there? Is it in Patenda or CEO? CEO, catch you. No. We can't be 70 steps there and we move 100 steps backwards. You know, you coming to the committee, I go to what Honorable Mentor is saying. You are confusing members because they don't know what they wanted to see was to the money we gave you last year, which was 400 and something million. The money we gave you last year, how did you spend that money? Now, when you talk about expenditure, I thought you were going to say we took 45 million, we did that, and this is what I mean. So that they understand at the end of the day whether are you having some overspending, are you having or underspending. Now, what you have done, instead, you are coming with a proposed project, but they don't know. You are like a child who comes to the parents and say, can I have 50,000 for the school? And then he comes in June, he says, can I have another 30,000? And then the parents is expected to hold arms and not ask about the outcome of the 50,000. That's the behavior that has happened this morning, and that behavior must stop. You come to the committee, you tell the committee, what did you do with that money? Because they are going to go to that podium and try and defend that 400 and something thousand, that it must not be taken away from you. Why the Treasury did not give you that 200,000 is exactly what I'm saying. You are so good in saying things and asking for things, but practically you are not clinicians. Clinicians are people who are the movers and the shakers. They shake things, they move things. You don't need to ask them because they are visible. You can see them. You go to that area, you can see, oh, there might be five projects, but this is an NYDA. That is not happening with you. Let me give you an example. There is this what you call your annual budget 2015-2016 page. I was going to give you the page number, isn't it? Cartoon. My child, when you do your annual budget, it must be aligned with what? Is there indicators? Right. Now, the first indicator, economic participation, it's okay. And we can see that you did not actually perform. You can see that, you compare it, you didn't do it. You didn't do it. And then, program number two, education and skills. Exactly what the Honorable Member said there. Then for some other reason in your head, then you change your indicators. You say indicator number three is National Youth Services. Actually, indicator number three is not that. What is it? According to it, what is it? It's health and well-being. Why do you shift your mind when you want to and then you try to go to the members? And then I go to them to the fifth one. You say service delivered and channel. Where is that indicator? Because according to the approved indicators, indicator number four is health and well being. It's health and well being. And indicator number three is what? Come on, Kato, tell me, you know it. You should know by heart. What is it? You see? Can you see? They're confused themselves, they're even confusing the members. They're saying indicator number three is health and well-being, indicator number four is health and well-being. And they're also being confused. You're not going to answer me this. But you need to polish your behavior. And then you go further. You say indicator number five, it's okay, research and policy, it is, you see it, it's there. You see it being aligned to MTSS, but not being aligned to the range. Now, you say governance. You must never use the word governance when you make it as an indicator. You must use the word administration, because administration involves the wages of the personnel. And it is supposed to be the program number one, by the way. So all in all, what you are proposing here, I don't think these members can even think about saying they are going to do it. Maybe they are going to call you again. Because they are not even also not happy. And because you don't know what did you do with the money? What did you do with the? You don't understand. You understand the one you got from the other people that helped you, but what did you do with the money that we gave you? Come and tell us that. We need that. So I'm sure the secretary is actually making a note that then right there, you need to come back maybe when it opens before we go and debate this. And I just hope that the CFO. Because at the end of the day, you are you are the captain of 717 million rand, which they took the 400 million from you. So I want that. We want that. Okay, sir. Thank you. Improve day by day. Thank you so much. Can we have the next presentation from the GMNE? I just hope you're not going to tell us about the proposed. You're going to tell us about how we have spent with 300 something thousand. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. While Peter is connecting, we have the hard copies of the presentation. I was going through the non-financial performance first. I will start with administration, program one. The summary of performance then. This program plans to achieve 13 targets. And out of the 13 targets, the targets that we achieved were like six. The very first is page three. Do you have it on the page? This is presentation. Thank you. Okay. The targets that were not achieved were five. The targets that we achieved and excelled in this program is one, and then the target partially achieved is one. And in this program, I would only like to highlight two areas that really were problematic. The achievement of the vacancy rate, we achieved 16% instead of the planned 10%. And what caused the delay there is the vetting of officials that are being appointed. Because this is policy, we have to vet these officials, so it takes time, it delays. That is what landed us in that non-achievement of the target. The second target relates to the ICT business project. We had planned in this quarter to achieve 12 in terms of the software systems that we have to develop as a department, and we achieved seven. And the reason there is the delays due to procurement of the ICT project, which is where we are assisted by CETA, and also in other projects, the project ran longer than anticipated. I will not talk to the internal processes that we have written there in terms of risk reports, because that has since been resolved. I would like the honorable members then to look at the program two, which is outcomes monitoring and evaluation program. In this program, the total number of targets were six that were planned, and out of the six targets that were planned, two were achieved, and two were excelled. And it means they were achieved, but also we excelled. We went beyond the targets, and then the two were not achieved, and one partially achieved. The one that is a partially achieved. Okay, the one target that I would like to again talk to the honourable members about is the where we had delayed is the review of the MTSS chapters. I would like to just explain to the honourable members that during the process of reviewing MTSS chapters, we have to consult departments. We cannot do it unilaterally as the DPME. And in the process of consulting departments, it was clear that it's taking more time than anticipated because one, departments have to first, we have to ensure that there are baselines for the targets in the MTSS, and secondly, we have to move together with the department officials in terms of formulation of indicators. So this is what caused the delay in that target of the review of the chapters of MTSS. I will move to program 3, which is institutional performance monitoring. This program has achieved all its targets. Honourable members will see that in the narrative it was written all targets were achieved, were met, but one. Now, I would like to just explain that target had already been achieved in quarter 2. So it is not necessarily outstanding work for this program. This program completed everything that it had to do. It actually moved ahead of its target. Then I would like to just comment on this program and say, amongst a highlight of the work of this program, there was the finalization of the citizen-based monitoring strategy. Citizen-based monitoring strategy is really where we engage citizens to tell us about our service delivery, which is really trying to strengthen our monitoring and evaluation, where we get to hear what the citizens feel they are feeling about our programs, because we have seen that reports sometimes do give a picture, but when you get to service delivery level on the ground, you find that citizens feel differently. So we have strengthened citizen-based monitoring. We engage citizens. We piloted citizen-based monitoring. We saw that it's working. We developed the strategy, and it was approved. That is just one of the highlights under Program 3. And we're really trying to strengthen frontline service delivery by increasing more programs that where we involve citizens in monitoring so that we can have responsive government. I will then request honourable members to move with me to page 16, which is Program 4. Program 4 is the national planning. The targets that were planned were 3, and the targets which we achieved were 2, targets that not achieved one. And the target that was reported as not achieved is actually the research reports that were supposed to be produced. And when you look at the work, again, it's an internal process. That work was done in quarter 2, but then in terms of the plan of the department, it was planned for quarter 3. So it is not recorded under quota 3, but already is work that has been completed under that program. Program 5 is the National Youth Development Program, and the work of this program relates to oversight of the NYDA, and therefore the targets that are there are not talking to the performance of the NYDA, but rather the work of oversighting DA. NYCA, and who is talking to the report? To the report, not the A, I say, the reports that were produced, and they were produced ultimately.
You're coming from Swanee.
Thank you. And which is perhaps a good thing that we. We report here the how we're oversighting NYDA. So they have presented their report, honorable chairs have engaged with their report, but all that we're reporting under this program is that we did oversight. We wanted to make sure they produced their report before we released funds for the NYDA. That is the summary of non-financial performance. The slide that follows...
So in other words, they release all the funds for the NID.
Yes, after the report was produced, after we did oversight, the funds were released. The slide that is at the end now is just the summary of all the performance, where the honourable members will see that the total number of targets 35, where we actually say that out of all the work that we planned, the targets that we planned in CPME, we have achieved 65%, and that those targets, I have distributed them, you know, in the programs from program 1 to program 5. Before the slide. Yes, there. So there it is just showing how these targets are distributed. Peter? Yeah. And as I've been explaining throughout the programs, we achieved the total number of 19 targets. We excelled in 4 targets, and the targets that we partially achieved were just 3, and the targets that couldn't be achieved because of the delays, and I explained largely in program 1, and I did talk to them when I was going program by program. Thank you very much.
Okay,
Alliance,
Mr.
President.
Thank you, Chairperson, honourable members. We are reporting our expenditure. I know it's supposed to be quarter 3, but we're reporting until the end of February, so it's a little bit beyond quarter 3. Bear in mind that the offices of the Minister and the Deputy Minister were transferred from the Presidency to the Department in 2015 adjustments budget, so it means that their budgets were removed from the Presidency
and they were added to DPME budgets in the adjustments budget. I'll try. So our budget increased from 7 to 7. Oh.
I think the problem is the volume is too high. That's the problem. I'll be lost if I switch my laptop. Is it better? Okay. So for the recording. So for the recording, our budget increased from 717 million to 754, and that was the fund transfers for the offices of the Minister and the Deputy Minister. We have to date spent 698 million, which is 93% of our budget, and we anticipate that we'll spend 98.1% of our budget. This is the graph explains the actual expenditure in green and the drawings, in other words the projections in the funny brown color. We were slightly short in quarter 1, but you'll see in quarter 2 and quarter 3 we slightly exceeded. Quarter 4 is still missing March, so by the end of March we hope that we will be on target with those projections as well. This is similar. The big spikes is when we transfer funds to the NYDA. So you'll see we transferred in May, August, November and February. And for the remainder of the year we more or less spend what we projected. These are the primary cost drivers. So if you look at the graphs you'll see the areas that we spend the most on per program. And you'll see in each program, except the planning program, we spend most of the money on compensation of employees. A big cost driver in the planning program, program 4, is professional services, specifically the amount we pay for the National Income Dynamics Survey, which was 30 million rand in the previous financial year. I've got more details on that in the next slide. These are the figures that cost drivers that we spend on. You'll see that professional services in the outcomes branch, which is where...
Sorry, Mr. Bishop, yeah? I don't have the other page, the last page, which you're talking about that page. They don't have it. I don't know if they do have the figures. Do you have the figures now? No, you don't have.
So they need to be very slow because they need to spend this right now.
We can go through the figures. These are the expenditure for the major cost drivers per program. So you'll see that our primary cost driver is compensation across all programs except program 4. Then professional services in the outcomes branch is where we spend money on evaluation and research. You'll see there's about 10 million rand that was spent there. And in the planning branch, the 29 million rand that was spent on professional services was on the National Income Dynamics Study. Travel in program 1, it's slightly higher than the rest of the programs. Computer services, 9 million rand in program 1 is spent mostly on CETA, that's for our department's connectivity and links between buildings and connections to the internet. And the 10 million rand spent on computer services under the IPM&E branch is also on CETA for the presidential hotline that they services, back office services that they provide to us. The other largest item is operating leases under program 1. That's for the building we lease. And then there are smaller items. We also highlight audit cost of 2 million rand. That's what we spend on the auditor general. And then the smaller items is mostly not large amounts in the other programs. It is 11 million in program in administration. And if required, I can provide more details on that. This next slide just looks at the entire department. You can see 55% spent on compensation, 14% on professional services, 10% on travel. Please note that all these figures exclude the transfer payments to the NYDA, of course, otherwise it would be it would skew the expenditure of the department. 10% on travel, 7% on computer services, and then smaller amounts. This slide breaks down the previous expenditure just per unit. So you can see what the CFO's office spend and what the internal office spend and what the minister spends, etc. And we did print copies of these slides. I don't know why.
You've got them.
Okay, excellent. So can I speak slightly faster? or you want me to go through them in detail?
You're just being pressed because you got it now.
Okay. Okay, so this slide gives details per unit, what the unit spent on compensation, goods and services, capital and transfer payments. The transfer payments that you see under different units, the only real transfer payment the department makes is to the NYDA, it's the last one in that column. The other transfer payments, simply when officials resign, the extra leave or the unused leave that they have is paid out, and we are then required to pay that from transfer payments and move the money from compensation to transfer payments. Under program 1, the most expensive office is the CFO's office, and primarily because the CFO has to pay the building rent. The outcome support unit under program 2 also spends a significant amount of money that is mostly on travel. And that's also the unit where the travel and compensation, and that's the unit where the outcomes facilitators reside. The other units are have smaller budgets. And program 3, the unit that spends the most money is the hotline, and most of that money is paid to CETA for computer services. So you see the 12 million there, most of that money, and the goods and services, about 11 million of that is spent on CETA. And then under planning, again, under goods and services, 26 million. That money was spent on the National Income Dynamics Survey. That was the end of the presentation.
Thank you, Mr.
Shen.
Sure.
institutional performance monitoring and evaluation. And we were informed that regarding MPED, departments have submitted 100%. Congratulations. However, one is interested in knowing are the results going to be shared soon with other with the committee or other committees in Parliament just before the budgetary processes begin. Furthermore, I would like to know, Chair, on this program, who manages the customer satisfaction survey on the presidential hotline? And your collaboration with the provincial departments, what does it look like? And how effective is it? I think that will be all for now, Chair. Thank you very much.
Honorable thank you, Chair. Now I've got a few concerns. First concern goes back to the NYDA, one of your programs that is in Program 5. And it's completed 100%. I want to make an example now, a clear example. Remember last time we met when you were presenting the MPED, I mentioned that with your how do you compile your the assessment of each department? Do you have field workers that directly go? So I made an example with a school. If a school is built, has got desks, has got chairs, there is a science lab. So it shows now that it's completed, and then Department of Education can come back and say, yes, we have performed 100% or 95%. If ever you go to the oversight, in terms of oversight, we look at the impact and the outcome. I will tell you now that the NYDA gave us stack of consultations. Northern Cape was 400 and something. Northern Cape has got only 205 words, but their consultations were 400 and something. Where were they done? So duplicated. There's only 25 municipalities and 205 words. That means in each ward they had two consultations. But I can sit here and tell you, not even 70% of Northern Cape can tell you that they have seen NYDA doing consultation. So it goes back to, if you say there is 100% of job well done by a department, do you have someone that can come and say it has been done, or you only rely on documentation proof that's submitted to you as a department? Okay, I see you are left with 7% in terms of the budget, but we were promised that you are reporting up until February, meaning which you are only left with few days. That 7% can cover a few days, it's fine. So you are not coming back for bailout or anything. Then the other area that disturbed me is where you are saying you are paid out money for people who did not use their leave, unused leave. It's very much inconsistent. As a department in president, when you have stopped that with a public servant, if ever you don't use your leave, Chairperson, until end of June, it's forfeited. And now we sit here as government, we pay ourselves. That's wrong. It's wrong. You can't even give it any name. It's wrong. You can't pay people for not using their leave when you don't pay the public servants who do the lot of work. If they don't use their leave, they are committed, they go to work. But because they go to work, they forfeit their day, they don't even get an incentive for that. And yet the department pays itself. No, that one is wrong. It has to be corrected. Thank you.
Just one question, Chair. Thank you for coming back to me. There is only one area of interest. Things it out. I just want to find out from the department whether now all the commissioners have been appointed for the national clinic. And to me, well, they are also doing a very critical job for the state. I just want to know whether did they sign any performance agreement with the commissioners. Thank you.
Right, thank you. Let me just quickly check on to that last question, because that's the question I have, but it's more of a procedural thing like we did with the STEP SA. What is the relationship now that the National Planning Commission has the minister as the executive authority? What is the relationship between the commission and the department? And the perennial vetting processes, this vetting thing, it's the culprit every time that these people are not appointed because the vetting has been delayed and slowed. What has the department done about that? Is there anything that we need to do from our side to make sure that this vetting is done timelessly and not to delay anything? Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, sir. It seems to me as if the vetting process needs some monitoring and evaluation. And I was just wondering whether this department could perhaps choose them. As you will know, Acting Chair, I have been critical of what departments have been chosen and what projects have been monitored. And I think here is perhaps a case in point where it may be of value. Chair, just quickly on a few things, not so much the failure to pay within 30 days, five cases I don't think is really something to spend a lot of time on the cases per se. I think it's actually quite a good standard if only five cases are highlighted as problematic. But my question is rather more, what caused this kind of failure? Because I think what your experience will probably also be the experience of other government departments. Is it somebody that fell ill and nobody else stepped in? Is it just a matter of prioritization? Do we have too few people in an office that can sign off on invoices, etc.? I would really like if you could, because it seems to me you have these five cases studied in so much detail, that you perhaps would be able to give us some guidance, and also perhaps other managers can learn from this. The second one is, again, coming back to the vacancy rate. You say it's largely due to the delays in the vetting process. Now, we do know that there are these delays, but then surely not all staff are vetted. And to say it's largely due means that some of the delays were also caused within the department, etc. What are those problems? What can you do? And can you perhaps just say how many of your positions need to be vetted, or what percentage of the positions need to be vetted? Because I'm also concerned that sometimes it's easy to blame somebody else for factors that in part has been caused internally. Then, Chair, just on page number 7, quite frankly, I would be very annoyed if I had to be evaluated by somebody who can't add 2 plus 2 plus 1 plus 2. And also the percentages, you know, once people start playing around with percentages and they don't add to 100%, I thought some red bells should be ringing. So perhaps if you could just
Surely there's a mistake. If you could just correct that one for us, please. And then, Chairperson, lastly, your budget has been increased from 717 million to 754 million, and you say that is in, to a large extent by the transfer of the ministry and the deputy ministry's functions or budgets to this particular budget. My question is, can I therefore, with a fair measure of safety, say that we will be saving about 40 million rand for each ministry and deputy minister that we will decrease in this country? Is the average cost per minister therefore 20 million rand? That is my question. Or are there too many other variables included in that figure that for me to be able to state something like that? And then lastly, if you say that your target is to oversee the National Youth Development Agency, and yes, I've done it, I ticked the box, and therefore I've had 100% success rate, or I've achieved my target in full. Again, supervision surely is not a binary kind of action. It's either on or it's off. I have supervised the NYDA, yes, or I haven't supervised the NYDA. Surely a target like that should be broken down into more detail. Have we always transferred the money to the NYDA on time? Yes, that might be a measurable target, I think. And what, to what extent do you have then monitoring over the NYDA? Because the NYDA has got its own board, it's got its own chairperson, etc. So how do you see your role in terms of the NYDA? Thank you.
Thank you, honorable members. From my side, Dr. Mashia, I would like to say a few things. This expenditure. This. I'll go back to what Honorable Registration says about the minister, the 19 million. Now, I'm assuming here that the 19 million also includes salaries. Now, we are agreeing with that. Now, if that's the case then, but I can see that on your administration, which is supposed to include personnel salaries, it says 294. Is that inclusive of the breakdown of these numbers? Now, having said that, I can see that you've got two DDGs, DDG for OME and the DDG for IPMNE. But these DDGs, when I look at their salaries, let us look members on the salary of the DDG OME, who gets how many? 2.3 million. And then I look at this another DDG, I don't want to know, don't tell me who is who. I'm talking a principal here. And the DDG IPME, who gets 1.8? Is there a parish here? What do we call that? Is that what do we call that? Maybe you might not answer this. You need your minister to tell us why is this parish, what happened with this salary? I'm talking about personnel here. When it comes to the salary, when one DG, we are a DG, I'm a DG, you get 2.3 and I get 1.8. And one of the government's objectives is to make sure that we stop inequality. So where then do we sit as far as the policies of government and with what is happening in the two NPC research where you spend almost 40 million. Is that what you said there about the there's some way you talk about the 40 million, but having said that, who does, so Oh, the professional services, of course. You spend so much from the professional services. And I accepted that because my assumption was your division needs skilled people. People who are able to analyze the information, who are able to collect the information. The information must be authentic. The information must be well analyzed. Point taken. But now, there is that research of 39 million again. Now, there is that 40 million of the professional services. And there is that 9 unachieved target because we were unable to make sure that the departments, we reach all the departments to achieve this. Where were these people that are being paid so much money when that happened? That's the first question. It worries that are we putting our eggs right or our ducks right? You know, the road is okay, or we just paying people for the sake of paying. But I'm the professional service is 40, research 39 is also 40. Mr. Petrova, what do you mean by others? You know, in every, if you know what, you know exactly, I'm sure you do know, the Money and Matters Related Act, for everything, it must follow the function. So if you say other and 20 million, how many houses you can give you 20 million? It's a lot. So what do you mean by other and the 20 million? And you must never come to us again with that other and the 20 million. You must never. Because you don't understand. You are making us to be confused. All in all, I like the way you have done, irrespective that you are putting some beep on you, but you have made us to understand what is happening with your budget. I like the way, I hope, because like what Dr. Mashir said, you are doing an oversight over the NYDA, which is true, because at the end of the day, it's a vote. You must do that. You must do it. But why can't they be like this? Dr. Mashir, when you do the assessment to them, why can't they do present things to us like this? Then if I say, oh, this is my home, Dambuza Road, there are 4 projects, oh, then you're here. Why can't I have that? Why can't we have that? But thank you for putting this. And like what Honorable Mentor said, it's fortunate there's nothing that we're going to give you. We're going to give you the same money, you're going to tell a minister, there's nothing you're not going to get, anything you're just going to get exactly what there are things that you feel. If we take that 19 million to the minister and we divide pay 12 by 12, can I talk something? And we talk about that disparity between another DG and another DPG is a problem. Over to you, Dr. Mashir.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. My colleagues will assist if they will come in to answer other questions. Starting with the MPET question, Honorable Ndombela, we had said to the committee, we would really like to come and give the picture of how departments have performed in the 2015 financial year. So now in March, we finalized, we've completed the defending period where the departments are defending their results, with producing the final report. So if the committee invites us, we will be able to come and share with the committee how departments have done currently in the effort. And we think it would be quite useful, you know, in the beginning of the financial year, so that the honorable members will have a picture of how departments provincially and nationally are doing in the management practices. So we welcome the invite. Can I just tie it to the question of the honorable on MPET, where she has a valid point that the picture sometimes is different and MPET is saying 100%. I just would like to clarify this. MPET, as the name suggests, is assessment of management practices.
and we said in the SCOA when we presented, we look at how the department, how the institution is running its affairs so that it can deliver on services. And we isolated the areas that we look at as financial management, people management, governance, all those things that make the institution to run better. And we, yes, agree, Honorable, that you may find that the department is at least trying now. They are managing their finances, they are managing the people. But remember, we said, Honorable, most departments are at level 3, which means they are just having the bare minimum of what is required. So we look at those goals and compare with the service delivery goals. And in most cases, we do see the picture that whilst they are trying to check how they run the department or the facility in terms of delivering on the outcomes, government outcomes, they are still not getting it right. Therefore, I would like to say in answering your question to say, if the picture is different in terms of management practices and service delivery, what then needs to be done? I think that's why we are trying as a DPME to make sure that first we address the issue of management so that there will be improvement in performance, because we can see the link that if there's poor management, then people don't get to work, no one supervises them, work don't get done. Even if they are targets in the ATP, they are not driven by employees. So it is not a question of that for now, the picture will be totally safe in terms of MPED and service delivery. We're supporting management practices so that there is improvement in the performance. I thought, let me just provide that clarity, that there are specific areas that MPED look at, not everything. And even in frontline service delivery, there are standards that we have said that we look at. But now we are beginning to combine core service delivery programs. So when we look at the facility, whether it's a clinic or the policy, we say yes, it's clean, the infrastructure is not falling apart. But we also ask core service delivery questions now. Are the water coming out of the, you know, the test? Is it offering the service that it must offer? That's the new dimension. Before, we're not asking our questions like that, Honorable. Then the second question was who manages customer service. Honorable Ndombela, we work with CITAS in the presidential hotline. People phone in. We register their phones, we log, we categorize their phones, then we dispatch to department. This is the education issue. We send it to the, as the Honorable understands. Then we follow up then to the department to see that case is resolved. And I think when we presented the results of the presidential hotline, we say we are seeing now the problem of giving to the department and monitoring that the department is actually resolving the case. Because we sometimes see that in other departments, the resolution rate is faster. In other departments, it's lower, the resolution, which means the number of days it takes for the case to be closed. But the survey, the satisfaction survey in terms of asking the client who complained, the citizen who complained, were you satisfied in terms of how your case was resolved? They do go back to those people who had phoned and ask them, and then they get to the statistics that 60% of those people were satisfied, 65% they were satisfied, others not as satisfied. So that is the CITA who runs that. How is the collaboration with provinces in the presidential hotline? We have learned that provinces do collaborate, but we also learned that practically it is better when we support through the offices of the Premier at local government level. Because these service delivery issues, these problems really are there at local government level. So sometimes citizens will complain, and sometimes we see that it's taking long to resolve the issue. Perhaps it's the management that is delaying. But we have also learned through the presidential hotline that it would be just a question of these employees who are working with the hotline system at local government level who need to be assisted to just resolved. So there's an issue of problem solving that comes when we're looking at the resolution of the cases. Because at management level, they will allocate, the head of department will say, chief director so and so to see that this issue is resolved. The chief director will send it to another one. So we have seen that we have to work with them to see that really they utilize their problem solving skills. But again, the issue of leadership, because the head of department must ensure that in their department these issues are not left to junior officials. So they do collaborate with other provinces through the offices of the premier. It is working, but it can be improved. The NYDA consultation varies from realities at the 200%. I would ask that they really respond to that, honourable member, where they have percentages that actually are more than the reality of the NYDA. You have dealt that question. The budget question, payment of unutilized leave. Many of the tutorials will deal with that. The commissioners, yes, they have been appointed, honorable. They haven't signed the performance agreement yet. The commissioners have just been appointed. Can you ask me what the appointment project is?
Things are October.
Towards the end of last year, so I think it would be like October, September. They are really supporting long-term planning. They do work with the minister, but I have not seen the issue of them signing performance agreements. So I would like to take that to the department just so that we can respond more properly on that. How the committee can assist, how can we assist with the delayed vetting? Mr. Pistorius really is responsible for HR, and I would like him to talk in more detail. We have the understanding, not only in our department, but in government generally, that really there is that lack of capacity to actually finalize the vetting. It does a delay, but I would like Peter to talk about the figures, you know, the policy, what numbers must be vetted. And alright, the question of the oversight of DA in terms of breaking it down, NYDA in terms of breaking it down to... to figures. You understand another what I'm saying. The question of breaking down the indicators, it is true, oversight is quite broad. But perhaps what we're reporting here on is what we're targeted to do in the first quarter. In terms of providing oversight, first we have to make sure that at the planning level, their strategic plan, their performance plan is talked to is of mainstreaming UX development. So yes, we have indicators that talk to that. We see what programs are they implementing so that they mainstream youth development. We look into those. But in this quarter, we just said, what were we supposed to do? That's what we are reporting. We've got quite a number of indicators, and those indicators that you see in their strategic plan and in their APP are actually the indicators that we use to monitor how they actually implement youth development in the country. So I wanted to frame that you are right. We can't just look at one element in terms of providing our oversight, apart from just transferring funds to them. The vacancy rate, I said, we'll talk to that.
care committee on page 6, the responsible gentleman is here. So he has to speak for himself on that one, and how the totaling the, you know, went wrong. I would leave it at that, Honorable Chair, and just ask them to clarify, and then we give the Secretary to talk about it.
Before we ask the Chairman, we need to ask one question on your side. One of the members asked whether do you depend on documentary or do you physically go there? I think it was mentioned. Do you physically go there or you only depend on research and on the data? Do you also send warm bodies which are equaling and better than to nice ceremonies?
Thank you, Honorable. Let me try again to explain. See, the question she was referring to, she was saying, when you say in MPAT is 100%, I'm relying on documents. That's why I said by saying that in yes, we do go, but there are specific areas that we look at, those only those five areas, we don't look at everything. That's why I said her question is valid, because now we have learned that to just look at certain areas and not to look at others, Honorable Chair, is problematic. To look at management practices, yet core service delivery questions are not asked. We have seen that it's not working. This is why we begin to ask core service delivery questions as well when we do our assessment.
So in other words, the Honorable mentioned they haven't done it. So they're gonna start doing it.
Okay. Like expanding.
Let me get before the correction of the percentage. I'd like to hear from the finance side that percentage of your maybe we would cover in a blue. Yeah.
Thank you,
Madam
Chair. The leave payouts. I'm sorry, I should have been clearer on that. It's only when you resign from the public service. So, yeah, we're not making money from not taking our leave. So, as you can see, that also in some way clarifies a little bit when we talk about turnover. You can see in all the units there were people that completely resigned from the public service. That's why in most of those areas we've had leave payouts. The vetting, I think, again, we should apologize. We shouldn't use the word vetting, because vetting happens after you're employed. That relates to your security clearance. This is pre-employment screening, and it happens to every single post you fill, from cleaner at level 2 until DG at level 16. I think I can't speak on behalf of state security, but the problem came in when SSA was given a job to pre-employment screening for every single post, but they weren't capacitated to do that. That was quite a while ago, and I'm not sure to what extent that has changed. I know there has been some improvements, but then there was 2 or 3 months where the equipment that they used for fingerprints were broken. So then there were delays again. So I think it's a matter of capacitating SSA. I don't think it's their fault. They were simply given a job, and they were not necessarily immediately given the capacity to do it.
Can I project this? There are so many sectors that are doing the vetting. There are so many colleges that are doing the vetting. Department of Education is doing the vetting. I think the vetting that the member is asking is, you have decided to appoint Udlamini Dubazana to be a director. Now, are you going to employ Uma Dubazana without having vetted whether the qualifications that she has submitted to you are valid? I think this is what the member was trying to find out. Mm. So it's more of a screening than the vetting. Mm. And then has he committed some criminal offences, which is now the SATF, not the SSA. So I think this is what you wanted. Why are we keep on going back to the same issue every year?
Yes, SSA in turn, the qualifications we do directly with SACO. But we do, even the criminal checks we do through SSA. So it means that there's a huge burden on SSA
to be able to provide us with that information. And what also happens...
Mr. President, we're not trying to correct you. We are saying you don't need to go... I don't know what your policy is saying, but you do not need to go to SSA, because SSA is doing the really serious clearing of a particular president. Or is the number of DPT?
Yes, we have busy hiring people for the short-term surveys. We are directed that we cannot go directly to the police crime intelligence. We have to go through SSA. So it's a requirement of all government departments to do so. Yeah, by the public service administration, public department, public administration. Thank you.
Thank you. I think there were two questions relating to that, and that also then impacts on the turnover of staff. Obviously, it's not just that. There are a few cases where it takes longer than we wanted to interview candidates. There are also cases where we go through an interview process, we are unable to find a suitable candidate, and we have to start from scratch. So it's obviously not all. We can't blame somebody else for all of it. There is a part of the blame for us as well. But in most cases, it's very important to speak. The cost per ministry and the deputy ministry, that's in this department. I won't be able to speak for other departments, but I think the E&E would have all of that information on what the expenditure is for ministries and deputy ministries. That's obviously for the entire office. It's not just for it's not just the minister. It's the entire office. Failure to pay within 30 days. The basis of monitoring 30-day payments is a tracking system, and every invoice must be recorded on the tracking system first of all. What sometimes happens, and what's happened in this case, is the service provider gave the invoices directly to the official. She put it in a drawer, and then she went on leave. So we don't know about the invoice until it's too late. And that's the failure of the tracking system. And there's not much we can do about that until we have a system where invoices can be submitted online by service providers. Departments cannot do that themselves because they're not allowed to procure IT systems, financial systems. We have to wait for the integrated system being developed by Treasury. So there's not much we can do. If we don't know that the invoice exists, we can't track it. Once it's on the tracking system, obviously then daily we track and we make sure that invoices are paid on time. So in this case, it was not much we could do, and we hope that the official learned from the mistake and it won't happen again. The NYDA oversight from our side, we only look at compliance with the TFMA. So we do a financial oversight. And then there's also the finance unit, the CFO's office, works with the CFO's office on that side and makes sure that they comply with all PFMA regulations. The other side, the youth desk looks at their performance. So those are the two areas that we look at. The DDG salary, first of all, you should look under compensation. It's the first column. So the last column is the total of compensation, goods and services, capital and everything. It's also the office of the DDG. So it's, I think, the DDG and two staff members in each case. And then the third one is the DDG OME was in office for 11 months. She, or 10 months, I think. She left at the end of December. And the DDG ICME has been in office less. I think she only started in. So it's because the office wasn't, the post wasn't full. And it's because the one post was filled for longer than the other post. So their salary should be more or less the same. We're not discriminating. The professional services under planning, I think the expensive one there is the National Income Dynamics Study. And we've just renewed the contract for that. And the contract for that over the next 3 years is almost 120 million rand. So it's a very expensive study, but it's an extremely useful study. It tracks individual families and individuals year on year on year, or every 2 years. So it goes back to exactly the same person to see how their income dynamics change. It's a very expensive way of doing it because you can't just go and survey 20 people or 20,000 people. You have to track exactly the same household. And if the household breaks up, you have to now or a child leaves the household, you have to track that child. So as the households grow and as people leave households, you have to keep on tracking exactly the same person to see how their income changed and what happens in their life. So it's a very complicated and expensive study. It's run through the University of Cape Town. I think initially Stats SA, and I don't want to speak on their behalf, did not have the capacity for that particular kind of survey. I know Stats SA is involved in the process, and they are also on the steering committee of the process, so they're definitely involved in it. But maybe in future, I don't know, I can't speak on behalf of Stats SA. The work will move to them, but it will cost them a lot of money as well, to be in the field and to find those families every year and to keep on tracking them. Every second year, sorry, is extremely expensive. That's where the most of the money is going.
Okay, while you're there, the members of the excuse me, because you know I'm trying to pick up a government said to the parliament they will try and stop duplication, they will try and stop consultation, they will try and so all of them. Did you just say the thing? And I think it was not here. Why are you not in a capacity to do this?
We do the income and expenditure survey, but we don't follow, we keep certain people on a panel, but we don't follow the same persons, and we can give estimates of that. But the moment you start having to track people, it's a different matter, because it's not only... there's an issue of confidentiality as well, because the Stats Act requires us to kill the identifiers at a certain stage, and for the kind of policy was that directives that they deal with, you can't in some instances kill the identifiers. So with us, once we do, we give the averages, but the identifiers cannot be revealed anywhere for further targeting. The same thing that when we deal with issues of poverty, we can give you averages, but when you come to issues of targeting, it becomes a lot more complex.
Embassy, anything to say on this matter? This is a very critical need. Do you want Mr. Tetra to repeat what you said? He said about 120 million. You know my main concern. My main concern, Dr. Mashia, you are doing the monitoring and evaluation, right? So you are doing the monitoring because somebody has given you a data to monitor that. That's what I'm saying. It's not your job to go and collect. It's not from whatever assessment which must be entered, then you do the monitoring. Then you evaluate it, whether it is within your key indicators that are submitted to the cabinet and it was approved by the parliament. Now, some 120 million is going to be spent on a program to ensure that you check individuals about their household CIP, if I may say. Now, I am saying, where is StatsSA? Now, the StatsSA, the DDG is saying we are doing that, but it is going to be difficult to check an individual because of the clause of confidentiality. Can you answer me, Dr. Mashia, on what I'm saying? Before, do you know what I'm saying? I'm glad that you're in one house and you're getting this confusion.
What we should do is continue the discussions amongst ourselves and look at ways in which, because already from the income and expenditure survey, and we have appeared before cabinet at some stage to do presentations. The whole issue, it will not bring the costs substantially. come to 120,000 million rand. But there are still a lot of issues we need to clarify as regards the confidentiality.
Yeah. Can you leave it to you, and then we're going to call you when we come back, because we need to understand this. Thank you.
I think the last question was about other. Yes, I felt a bit constrained by the size of the slide, but in future I'll do it like the next one and put all of the items.
Thank you so much, DPME, with your team, Dr. Mashiach. Thank you for coming to us. You know what you're supposed to do. You know the things that are supposed to be emailed by the cartoon, the cartoon. And yes, the follow up. And we appreciate that coordination between yourself and the FSA, so that you try and stop some duplication. But other than that, you can fly back home. Thank you so much.
I just wondered whether you would allow me to have a parting shot. To say something before
you allow me now.
You allow me.
Yes.
Thank you very much. I've got a very serious concern with regard to the presidential outline. Reason being that it is a presidential project. And we've got to make it work. And the people that are supposed to be happy and satisfied with it are the very citizens down there, the very ordinary person in the street. I'm saying that, Chairperson, considering the number of social needs that we have across the country. And the presidential hotline was actually meant for such things, to address people's dreams. I remember last year that one of our members demonstrated, gave us a demonstration of whether this presidential hotline is indeed working. And the answers that we got, the response that we got was negative. So, Chairperson, I want to request you, and if you're not going to allow me to do this, I might die, so you must allow me. I request, Chairperson, your indulgence in demonstrating the same thing again a year after this. This is Mokulu Sonipa, which is Salwa. The hotline goes there. I have tried to 30 minutes ago. It's still saying the same thing. So what am I saying exactly? I'm making an appeal to the department to make sure that projects that are directly are the initiatives of the president, please let us try to make them work. I know the challenges that are there, but let us go out of our way to make it sure that. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much, Babu Ntombela. I share the same sentiment. That program, that project, has actually taken about, it's close to 23 million. It's close to 23 million. And you ask yourself whether it was inbound or outbound. So with that, it's obvious there's no inbound, there's no outbound. People must fix. Now you are at a Kun or Okaikai, McQueen, and you don't have a fix. But you do have a cell phone. So, yeah. Do you understand the message that you guys are doing for us? You are messing around with the citizens of this country. Don't do that. You give them hope and you take it away. Because listen to that. You say exit or what? Face effect. Yes.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for that support from your side for that. Quite frankly, my fax machine is currently gathering dust very high up in the cupboard there. But let's be grateful. We could have heard that we must send a telex. And so surely we have advanced. We're a few years behind. I think email would have even been more appropriate in this day and age, but at least we've advanced on telexes. Thank you. I'll just comment exactly on what Babu Tomela has demonstrated. I've got a problem even with the language. One language, one person tells you what to do, and as you have just said, someone calling from Bizana, from Tuba Tuba, from Nongo, and is listening to this voice saying, sorry, this. That person can't even know what is the real problem, why is not getting through to the
At least,
I mean, if it's a presidential hotline, that is open for the public, especially for those people down there, must be able to really be in their standards.
Hunting land, saying, are you speaking English press one? Are you speaking one press two? You can't be English. You're not English. You've got 11 languages. I agree with you, Honorable Mwan.
I don't know.
We want to defend this.
I think so.
He's a certificate general.
I think there are two issues that are not about the hotline, but I know that my colleague might be leaving, and I would like to talk when they are not here. The issue of income dynamics, surely that has been run by ZSA. I don't have any doubt in my mind about that, because it has to be a time series over a long period of time, and I think we have to sit down and sort that out. It's been on the card for quite a while, but quite clearly, that's the one. Forgotten the second issue, but it probably will come in my presentation.
Thank you for your contribution, Mr. Assistant General, and thank you from the department, Dr. Marcia, and the team. You may, because I'm a soldier, you may be dismissed. You may leave. if you want to listen to the status, I think for your own benefit, because I think you're monitoring and evaluation, you are welcome to sit. Have tea. We are tightening bed here. So whether the tea is cold or what, you just have to take it.
Thank you very much.
Now, just to add to the questions that the NYDA has sent to you, the question I asked of how come that the consultation processes were 400 and something in a province where there's only 205 words.
They must send it. Okay.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. We want to thank you as the DTME, thank the Honorable Members for the guidance and oversight questions, because they help us to get up, you know, our work and actually improve the work that we do, so that the citizens of the country can benefit. We have noted the documents that you must send back, and I want to say that within 1 week, just today is Wednesday, it should be in the office of the chair by Wednesday next week.
Thank you so well. Let us have just 3 minutes break, eh? Just 3 minutes, then we talk numbers. So.
Thank you.
the measure of the